long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning with Robin Walter here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. I've got a teaching today that's called Picking Up a Dog by Its Ears. We are going to cover something that never gets talked about from the pulpit. Never. I've been a Christian for decades, never heard it once, but you're going to hear it today. And where the application applies, where it does not apply. But first, we are going to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord God, and thank you for this day. It is a day that you have made. I'm thankful here in Arizona, Lord God, for the rain that you have blessed us with. It has been so long in coming. Your word says that you cause the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So I'm not concluding that we are just because it falls on. I'm just declaring the goodness of you. And yes, this household is just, but I thank you for the rain that falls on the unjust as well. And so, Lord God, I ask that you just minister through this word today, something that I have never preached, but I've never ever heard it preached, and that the people listening would be built up and hopefully share this passage of Scripture and its application to others. Pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, so the passage that we are going to focus upon comes out of Proverbs, which we will read it in a minute, but I will give it to you. It's Proverbs 26:17. But I want to just, as a little bit of a preface here, talk about, the passage talks about picking up a dog by its ears. Well, it's not in Scripture. Let me just start with this. It's not in Scripture to just tell us we shouldn't pick up a dog by the ears. That's not what it is about at all. I'm not saying that's okay to go pick up your dog by the ears, but it has nothing to do in the literal sense. It really doesn't, except that there is some physical application here, which you'll understand in a minute. But I want to touch on two things in particular growing up. One was a first grade teacher that I had, who I will leave nameless, although she has died many, many years ago. And when she had an issue with somebody, and this was also visited upon my fellow classmates, probably put the fear of God in me even more than my mother in her laminated extra wide, extra hard, extra thick yardstick that she used to wallop my behind. But in third grade, it also had a teacher that would pull kids' ears. They were messing up, and she'd go around and pull on one ear or both of them. Either one of these teachers would do that. I mean, the only thing that neither one of these women did was, watch this. I'm going to turn you into Dumbo and pull on the kids' ears. Obviously, it hurt. Kids are yelling and screaming. But by the same token, they also didn't mess around anymore after that. Nor did I. I did not need to learn by personal experience. I could learn from observation. And I observed and I learned. That's issue number one. Issue number two, not issue, but situation number two, was I was just old enough to remember President Lyndon B. Baines Johnson, LBJ, picking up a dog by the ears. It horrified some people, probably dog owners, but he was a big dog owner. And the dog wasn't being disciplined. He would pick the dog up by both ears to try to prove that dogs not only do not mind being picked up by the ears, but they actually like it. Which you know, I didn't derive anything from in particular, although it seemed kind of cruel to me at the time, based on my experience in first grade and third grade, picking up anything or pulling ears on anybody. But Johnson did it to try to prove that, and maybe the dog was so used to being picked up by the ears, it didn't complain anymore because it knew it was useless. I don't know. But those are my two examples, and I didn't grow up with dogs. From a family of a nine, a total seven kids, and my parents, my dad raised on a farm. He said, let's get a dog. And every time he said, let's get a dog, my mother would say, let's have another kid. So we ended up with kids. We didn't end up with dogs. So I didn't grow up, or I don't dislike them, but I also don't have any strong, I don't have a strong feeling one way or another. It's just not an experience that I had. So let's go to the passage and see its application here. And why is this passage in Scripture? Why is it so instructive across such a broad range of situations? And it might guide you today, the day that you hear this, because it should guide each person in their daily affairs, all the way up to including prime ministers and presidents all across the globe. So Proverbs 26:17, reading from the King James Version, said, he that passes by and meddles with a strife that belongs not to him is like one that picks up a dog, takes a dog by the ears. So the situation is, this is a person who's walking along and he sees a situation, observes a situation that really has nothing to do with him at all, but he decides to intervene. And upon intervening, he gets caught in a situation where it says it's like picking up a dog by the ears. And what that means is that once you have interjected yourself into a matter that really is of not consequence to you, nor is it to protect or help a party distinctly in need, which we'll talk about as the applications that this passage doesn't have, you end up with a dog contrary to LBJ's purported experiences, a dog that's ticked off. So you're holding up this dog by the ears. The dog hates it. It's barking. You want to let it down, but you're trapped. And why are you trapped? Because the minute that you let him down, now the dog can bite you in the ankle because he's ticked, or worse. So you don't want to get bit in the ankle, so you hold up the dog. You're stuck holding the dog because the alternative is to be hurt. You are in a situation where without, unless there's some pain involved, you don't have the ability or opportunity really to extricate yourself safely from that situation. Now, I want to tell you where I have experienced it in the area of practicing law. Most of the time that I have gotten into a situation I regret, and I have learned, is when I have been approached by a Christian, or supposedly a Christian, for help in a matter for which that party does not intend to pay me. They expect me to do something pro bono, and it does not necessarily directly involve them. It's something that may involve related parties or friends, and they want me to come and help solve it. It isn't life and death. It isn't my matter. I'm not being paid to do it. I'm not an advocate for anybody. I'm not a judge, which I have done on a pro tem basis. No, I'm just allowing myself to get interjected into a situation that once I pick it up and I can't solve it, and maybe because the person who's talked to me didn't know all the facts, and I find out the facts and found out that I sort of got seduced into trying to help out here, either I make enemies of both of the parties who never knew me before, or I dump them and now I'm a quitter and I now say, well, this guy couldn't help us. Don't get use him. He's no good. I got a dog by the ears. And you think of the situations that maybe you have gotten yourself involved in. Maybe you work for a company and it's a spat over at the coffee machine or the water cooler between two employees. And it's over something doing one sent a nasty email or one didn't answer the other an email or they disrespected each other or something of that sort. And you try to settle it. I tell you, there's only one thing you can do, and that is make enemies. The situation you are passing by, as this passage talks about, it has nothing to do with you. There's no one in particular being harmed physically. There is no duty to be involved. You will get involved in a situation from which you will only make, you will make at least one enemy, maybe two. And then your reputation in the office becomes what? The person who meddles in somebody else's affairs and can't solve it and is sticking their nose in other people's business. Now, I'm going to go up the ladder here as to where this applies. And I've started at the bottom with me and with you and people you know. You can think of this situation. You can think of them where you've gotten involved. Now, I want to say before I get to the higher application of this, that there are people who use this as an excuse. They don't use it as an excuse because they know the passage, although some would use it as an excuse because they do know the passage. But many who just don't want to get involved in anything, when in fact there may be a duty to do so, and which I will touch on a little bit later in the program here. But let me take it up a notch and ask me a question, if you want, about the application, redskyradio777@gmail.com, redskyradio777@gmail.com, whether you have a situation that maybe you should stay out of. And my answer is going to be brief. And it's probably a 99% chance, yes, you should stay out of it. But I don't want to say that automatically because there are situations where you actually have a godly obligation to be involved. So before I get to those, what happens is if you take this up a level? We see this all over the place with corporations and businesses. And this is a perfect example. Who have gotten into the whole woke DEI crapola. And that's the nicest word that I can say for it. And what happens when they do? Well, they think they're winning business. They try to be in with the in crowd, hip with the hipsters, and what have you. And then they find out that it's actually hurting them because now we got a president who's not into that, and now they're backing out. You see, they never needed to take a position on diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is a bunch of garbage. It means how to promote people who don't deserve to be promoted, how to get a job if you don't deserve it. It's actually totally and completely non-merit-based. But this is what happens to the company that picks that dog up by the ears. When they realize it's no longer economically or financially healthy for the company to continue down this berserk and insane path, they'll dump it. Now what happens? All your LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ crowd is all ticked off. And now where they wouldn't have boycotted that company before, they're going to boycott them because they have no spine, so they say. They're cowards. They won't speak truth to power. All the usual garbage. Now, I'm going to give you a personal example of a company that did that and how I responded. I was insured with State Farm, had been for, 15 or 20 years. They started trying to be woke, do the DEI garbage. And they started having drag queen shows. Okay? I went into the office in the town where I live, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to cancel my policy. I'm going to pay a little bit more for another insurance company that is morally right, that's has a higher moral ground than State Farm, because you aren't farming anything but evil. The women in that office, and they were all women, all knew what I was talking about. They all agreed with me that the company is going down a horrible path. They were embarrassed to say they work for State Farm, especially around people like me, and there's a lot of people like me where I live, to varying degrees, maybe not so energetic as I am about these issues. So what happens? State Farm then, because business is hurting as a result of it, and they're bearing the consequences. They are very exposed to the Southern California fires. They're going to take it on the chin, and they should. They decided to abandon the policy. So, thinking that people would come back. Some will. I didn't. Why? Because I know they're hypocrites. They're only after the money. There was no repentance. There was no change of behavior. There was nothing. They picked up a dog by the ears. And now they cannot extricate themselves, except maybe with a passage of time, a gazillion dollars in advertising, I might add, to win people back. That's the only way they can get out of it, is to buy their way out of the bad association. Not for me. I know they're hypocrites. Nothing has changed. Their love for money just has them chasing whatever people want or they think people want for the dollar. Now, that's at the corporate level. Let's go to the country level. Why did we get bogged down in Vietnam? Because we were had no reason to be there. None whatsoever. And I was in the service during the Vietnam years, so were two of my brothers. I didn't go, one of them did. But they picked up a dog by the ears, and we could not get out. Why? Because having started something we had no business being in, now we can't get out without an incredible embarrassment and loss of respect. And we got, what, 44,000 men that died in Vietnam for a war that wasn't ours and we couldn't get out of because we picked up a dog by the ears. Let's try Afghanistan. How could we get out of that? We got in there. Having come in, people didn't like us. Then they hated us because we just pulled out and left. You saw the pictures of all the people chasing the U.S. air transport as we vacated, hoping they could get on the plane and get out of there because they were going to be toast because we left them behind. I don't think we had any business being in Korea. So bring that up to the present time. Do we have any business being engaged with $350 billion worth of money and advisors in Ukraine in a war that's between two countries that are, what, 7,000 miles from us or something? We do not have a dog in the hunt, but the more we do and engage ourselves, the more we can't get out of it. And finally, it's up to Donald Trump to exercise the painful task of extricating and trying to, as a good businessman, recover some of what we dumped and lost and threw away in the tune of $350 billion. This should be a guiding principle for every single president and prime minister throughout the world. Don't get engaged in a matter that really has nothing to do with you. And if you have some company or corporations pushing you because they want some natural resource there, that's the wrong reason. I like what Trump is doing in trying to recover some of the money we wasted and kissed away in Ukraine by getting something back in the form of minerals. But now he's faced with a task, with a problem he didn't create. He's the one that's got to now let down the dog and see if it bites his leg. But he's not the one that picked it up. he was handed the dog by Joe Biden. This is a guiding principle. This is the most, if I taught a class in foreign affairs, which I could do, this would be day one. Lecture one would start with Proverbs 26, verse 17. You do not meddle in the affairs that you really have nothing to do with, because it's like picking a dog up by the ears. You can't hold him. The dog is screaming and barking. You let him down. Now he's free to bite your leg like no tomorrow. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I'm talking politics, not scripture. Wait a second. Everything I'm talking about in politics comes from scripture here. If scripture doesn't inform us as to how we should behave as a nation or as individuals or in our places of business, or the respect to each other between our wives and our husbands, or toward our children, or towards our fellow Christians, or toward God, then what's the point? What's the point of the word if it's not going to direct and inform us in all sorts of areas of our life? This just happens to be one incredibly important thing that is universally and totally ignored until, and I don't even think Donald Trump knows this passage, but he's applying it. He keeps saying, why are we fighting and involved in these foreign wars which bog us down? We drain our kitty. We go into a national debt over our heads to help, supposedly help somebody who has, we've got no obligation towards. There's no biblical basis for getting engaged in that affair over there. We cannot be the policemen of the world when we have our own needs unmet. And I think he employs this strategy. I know he does, even though I don't think he has connected it with Scripture. But this has been an issue with both Republican and Democrat presidents. They're moved by lobbyists and the corporate industrial complex and all that's good for business when there's war. Sometimes dictators and so forth, when they're on the verge of getting thrown out, will engage in a matter that's not their own to try to salvage their political career. Not only is it not employed, it is sometimes actively ignored for other purposes. Now, you're probably thinking, this is a convenient excuse to not get involved in other people's affairs. But there's times when you have to be. There's times when you're commanded. So I want to cover and finish this program with when this passage does not apply. And one of them is pretty easy, the Good Samaritan. So you got the man that's beaten and left half dead on the side of the road. You got the priest that comes by at one side, takes a look and keeps going, man, not my business. I don't want to get involved in that. Yeah, he's bleeding profusely. And the scripture says he's left for half dead. That's how badly beaten the man was. So you got the priest that passes on one side. You've got the Levite that passes on the other side of the man. And they just leave him in the road. Now, Jesus is speaking to a lawyer, I think it was, who asked, the lawyer asked Jesus, well, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the man gets it right. He says, I've done this, I've done that. And Jesus says, oh, there's one thing that you lack. You know, you sell what you have and follow me. You help your neighbor. And the question, and I may be confusing the stories here, but the question is, this man comes back to Jesus and try to catch him and says, well, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. The good neighbor, the person who's a good neighbor, who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is somebody that you come into contact with, personal contact, and sometimes it may not be personal directly, but who has a great need. A need. You know, helping the bloody man on the side of the road is not being engaged in somebody else's conflict. The priest and the Levite, of course, Jesus' point was, hey, you two Jews, you screwed up here. You don't even know who your neighbor is. And he points out the contrast by a Samaritan being the one who comes to the Samaritan, who doesn't know God but knows how to do a godly thing, and the two that should know God and what a godly person does, they don't do it because they have the excuse of not getting involved in somebody else's affairs. Well, it wasn't just that person's affairs vis-a-vis somebody else with whom they're having a dispute or an argument. It had nothing to do with one person being left half dead. James 4:17. One who knows, in fact, you know what? I want to get it exactly right. So I'm going to go to James 4:17, wherein it says, therefore, to him that knows to do good, but does not do it, to him it is sin. So, now let's flip this around. Instead of not being involved in somebody else's affairs, where the person is really just, it's a matter of need, you know what you're supposed to do. And if you don't do it, you know to do good and you don't do it, now it's a sin to not be involved. And I could give you all sorts of situations. You could think of, I mean, it could be you could see a five-year-old that is being kidnapped by two adult men. Do you get involved? Yeah, you should. Somehow, I don't know how that is. If you're carrying a gun, pull it. Tell them to drop the kid. If you see some 80-year-old lady being whacked by some 18-year-old thug and the purse being snatched, is that injecting yourself in somebody else's affairs from which you won't be able to extricate? No. It becomes sin when you know to do good and I'll throw this in here, you have the ability to do something. But what do you do? You do what you can. If the person who's observing the 86-year-old lady being mugged and their purse stolen by a 20-year-old thug, if that person that's observing it is also 85 years old or whatever, they can't do anything physically, then call 911. They take photos with their phone, whatever it is. You do what you can do to help. And to not do it becomes sin. You know, there's this passage out of the Old Testament, but it applies, that if a person sees another person's animal down in the ditch or hurt or something or lost, what is that person compelled to do? It's to take the animal. It says even if it's your enemy's animal, you go help the animal. You're not injecting yourself in the affairs of two other people or two nations or some corporate dispute between the righteous and the unrighteous on some matter like that. No, you have an obligation when you know to do good to do it. Otherwise, it is sin. But when it involves two people, two nations, maybe family members which have a dispute which you cannot resolve, but you just hate the fighting, you have to let that dog stay on the ground, remain in its place, and go wherever that dog feels led to go. These are words of wisdom, not from me, but from the Word of God. Take it, use it, apply it, and tell somebody else about it.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints to not just survive, but to thrive in the end times, through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for tuning in today, for listening. I love doing this. God's given me a passion for it. I hope it's ministered to you. God bless you. We'll see you next week.